Welcome, lady and gentlemen, to the sixth, and the only sixth, episode of Tavern Tussle. As always, I'm your co-host, Cam Bams, and today I am joined by...
your other co-host, Karateka.
That's right, we're here, we're doing it. Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes episode next week. I'm excited. I know, yes. By the time you're listening to it, most of you already have it. But we want to take time to consume and learn and know.
I'm super excited.
I know. It's like we were looking through it earlier and like,
yeah,
some of the monsters in there, man.
They are fucking amazing looking.
Like it's going to be fun. And there's a lot, like you were saying, there's a lot more higher level,
yes,
CR. So definitely. That's exciting. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be playing D&D.
We are taking those adventures higher.
That's right. 1 to 20. 1 to 20. 3 years. Don't care. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but today, we're going to kind of, you know, soften the excitement a little bit. We're going to talk about homebrew. And before we started recording today, I was trying to think of a homebrew joke.
Oh, God, here we go. Okay.
So now I'm just going to tell you about my failed attempt to make a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I couldn't.
I got, like, slightly excited for a second.
Yeah. Like, oh, bartender, can I get my mead homebrewed or something dumb like that? Whatever. It was a joke about Starbucks and
it's
mead.
It's the thought that counts.
Thanks. See? That's why I keep you around. We're good like that. But, I mean, hey, what is homebrew? Karateka, what is it?
Well, I guess homebrew, if defined, would be your ability to create your own world or campaign or both. I mean, it's just your ideas. Anything that, like, your imagination can think of, you can create in the world of D&D.
Yeah, because everyone looks at Dungeons and Dragons and they see all these books that have been released. You know, Horde of the Dragon Queen, you know, Storm King's Thunder, Tomb of Annihilation. And they're like, oh, well, not only do I have to buy the Player's Handbook and the DMG and the Monster Manual, but now I have to buy these adventures to be able to play the game. No, because there's this magical world of homebrew. And while, you know, the rules that exist there are the rules you care about. Because, I mean, you're homebrewing races. You can homebrew classes. You can homebrew spells. You can homebrew, you know, entire worlds, like you were saying. But it's not just that. Like, you can take and homebrew anything in an existing adventure as well.
Yeah.
Like I've done with the Tomb of Annihilation. Like, the whole part of the whole adventuring in Chult before the Tomb of the Nine Gods, that was all homebrew. Like, I looked at that map. And I looked at everything that was going on, and I'm just like, I have to be ready to run this in 3 days. This is not happening. So I just homebrewed the entire... I took the setting, homebrewed everything up until the Tomb of the Nine Gods, and now I'm doing it, like, by the book. Because I think it's important, you know, when things like that, like big dungeons and, you know, things that have weight in the world, in a story... I think it's important to portray them the way that, you know, the people that designed the adventure wanted them to be.
Yeah, if you're running published material, yeah.
Exactly. But homebrew is this magical place where the opportunities are endless. Your brain is the only thing that holds you back. You know, like, you know anything you want. There are certainly a lot of benefits to homebrewing if you are, one, either an experienced DM who's been doing it for a while, or two, you're just one of those, like, freakishly creative people that just understand game mechanics and, you know, can write novels and stuff like that. I think that's who homebrewing, like, really helps the most. Are the people that have been doing it for a while, or the people that just have so much creativity, they just have to put it somewhere. And D&D is the perfect place for that. So, I mean, these benefits of homebrewing, like, what do you feel are some benefits of homebrew?
Well, I mean, you kind of touched on a couple. Like, one, if you have a creative mind, like, you can pretty much just go wild. I mean, don't get me wrong. I guess most people, I guess I would say, still carry the core rules into their homebrew. I mean, you can homebrew your own rules.
Yeah.
Especially for certain aspects that are, you know, is a situation that would only be in your homebrewed game.
Like, a lot of that comes through when, like, players want to play, like, a certain race, and there doesn't exist rules for that race.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, man, but I really want to be an ogre. Well, then you have to figure out, you know,
yeah,
what comes with being an ogre. You're going to have to homebrew that.
Or say they don't want to play a, like, fantasy, medieval, supernatural type deal. You can homebrew a game, and it's actually in the DMG to kind of assist you. A futuristic type game with, like, you know, modern day world, guns, you know, laser swords, whatever the case may be.
D&D in space, man.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, we're going to do our evil campaign, but it's going to be in space.
An evil space campaign. So, like, global domination.
Yeah, it's going to last all of 3 weeks, because by then everyone's going to have killed each other. But it's going to be awesome, because there's going to be lightsabers and shit.
All right.
Yes. But the things that I like the most about homebrew is, basically, it gives you an ability to be extremely adaptable to what's going on. Because when you're running pre-published adventures, like, you kind of have to get to point C at some point.
Yeah.
You know? And with a homebrew, like, if you've done your world building and everything, you can easily adapt to anything that's going on. I'm not saying you can't adapt in a pre-published, but at the same time, I tried running Curse of Strahd for a group last year. And they totally went completely off book and ended up making a deal with Strahd, and it was just weird and crazy, and yeah, half of them died, half of them lived, they all got out. So, like, I got maybe, like, a fifth of the way through the Curse of Strahd adventure. They got from, like, level 1 to, like, 4, and by that time, they bounced. And I was
wow.
Like, thanks, you guys are, like, so outside the box, there's nothing I can do, like, you know, like, because they were just making extremely ridiculous decisions and stuff, and, like, two of the players had never really played D&D before, so the stuff they were doing wasn't, like, meshing with, you know, the experienced players I had in the group and stuff, and, like, yeah, Kyle and Andy do not talk fondly about that time in our campaign. So it's just one of those things. Like,
it's one of those risks you run.
Exactly. And with homebrew, it's so much easier to rein in every decision because you're creating everything. You are the mind master, you know, big brother of this world kind of thing. And it just, like, flexibility is really important in role-playing games. And homebrew gives you that. I mean, like you said, you can get it to where the adventure is perfectly endless. You create a world, and every single one of your campaigns takes place in that world. You can have multiple campaigns happen in the same place, like Critical Role's doing. You know, first campaign was in Tal'Dorei, and then now the second campaign is in a different part of the same world.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's homebrew and world building to a point that's, you know, existentially endless. You can keep going with that forever. And I hope they do, because I fucking love Critical Role. One of the most interesting things I think about when I think about homebrew is what happens beyond level 20?
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of stuff. Like, level 20 is like, it, like, world-shaking events have happened, and then you just pack up and open up a bar and grill.
See, and I feel like that kind of sucks, because you've worked all this time to become this epic, legendary superhero, supervillain, whatever the case may be, and then you, like, accomplished all these things, and you're just, like, a superpower, and then it's like, all right, and you have destroyed the god or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. There's nothing to say that you can't homebrew
yeah.
levels 21 through 25.
And it would be so exciting.
Can you imagine a level 30 character? Like, that's over god level. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you could fight hordes of dragons or devils or, like, what, you know, whatever. There's so many possibilities that can, like, be accomplished past level 20.
Like, you don't even need the Infinity Gauntlet to play Thanos. You just are Thanos
yeah.
with all that power. All
right, yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's exciting to me to think that, you know, if you're creative enough, like, D&D doesn't have to end.
No.
At level 20. I mean, I wish that I've played in more campaigns at max level, because they are ridiculous fun, but, you know, the average campaign ends at, like, level 10, 15, if you even get that far. So, and but homebrew opens up, you know,
all the possibilities.
All those possibilities and all that stuff. Like, you're not beholden to any master, you know? Like, you are creating everything. So who's to say that, I don't know, like, orcs and elves live together in harmony? You know, and you have a whole homebrewed organizational structure of how that government looks and stuff. Because that, I don't know of anywhere where that exists.
No, I mean, not that I know. But still, like, just the idea is exciting.
Yeah, someone's going to tweet at us and be like, you didn't read that book
about yeah.
the orcs and the elves?
Well, we will now when you tell us about it.
Yeah.
But, like, say, like, when a game gets to such a grand scale where, like, you're not just going on simple adventures, fighting the monsters or finding the great big bad evil, but you're kind of like, you've become to the point where, like, obviously you're still a superpower, you're strong as shit, you've been through all these adventures, but you're also, like, a governor, a mayor, or you, like,
yes.
you have all these big political decisions, and there's just so much room for it to grow on, like, a massive scale, like, giant, like, you know, regional battles, and, you know, like, the possibilities are endless. Like, just anything you can think of and do, like, it's there. Like, you can make it up.
Like, you end up playing Risk
oh,
instead
God.
Of D&D.
Yeah.
Party members are going to war with
Jesus
each other.
Christ.
But the world of homebrew is not all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, no.
There's definite drawbacks to homebrew. And I think the biggest one, and, you know, someone's probably going to refute me because everyone has a different system of doing things.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing about homebrew is the planning. So much fucking planning.
I've done homebrew. The first time I DM'd, I was like, you know, I had an idea. Oh, we actually didn't touch on this. But there's so many like, you can take things from the real world and kind of turn it into a homebrew story, like whether it be superheroes from the you know, our reality, you know, X-Men, whatever, and, you know, you
oh,
can,
yeah.
like pop culture, whatever, you can bring it, make it into a homebrew game. So I did like this homebrew style Sword Art Online game.
Oh, don't start talking about anime.
Okay,
it'll
yeah,
never
sorry,
end.
Sorry. But nonetheless, it's almost a part-time job. Like, it is a part-time job. Like, the planning is, it takes a lot.
Yeah, and to be at a scale where, like, I feel comfortable as a DM homebrewing, like, I have to know what's going on everywhere, I feel like. Because, like, especially, you know, like, Andy, he can be super unpredictable sometimes. And so not having an answer to, like, some of the stuff he does makes me feel bad.
Not only you don't want, if you play a homebrew game over a long period of time, you don't want kind of holes to show up.
Exactly.
Like where you
yes.
answered this question in this one way and down the road, it's like, oh shit, did I say that? Because that's not really working with how the campaign works. Like, lore, I feel like, is a big drop. Not so much a drawback, but it's a big responsibility. You have to know, and just like other events going on in the world. Like, there's just so much going on outside the tiny little world of the party that, because the party can at any point in time go anywhere, because, like you said, they can be unpredictable. You have to know what's going on there. And say they move from one town to the next, And then they come back to, like, a previous town that they've been to. And, like, say they left and, like, all these catastrophes were happening and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden they come back and it's just, like, reanimated. Everything's fine, you know? And it's like, what the fuck you mean?
Yeah,
like,
meticulous notes yes, is important when you play yes. homebrew. I mean, everyone's not going to have that experience, though, because there are D&D groups that don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I want to kill cool-looking shit and get loot and go get drunk yeah. at a, you know, not reality tavern.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
kind of the hack and slash, like, I want XP, loot, I want to get stronger so I can do more badass shit, fight more badass shit, and, yeah, get drunk at the tavern, wake up the next day, max HP, refill spell slots, let's go again.
Yeah, no, but I mean, my, you know, experience playing Dungeons & Dragons, I care about that stuff. You know, like, I think I take it to, like, a different level than it's some people.
Like OCD. Like, I completely understand. Like, just thinking about it. Like, right now, thinking about it, I'm like, fuck. Like, what if somebody... It always sucks when someone's like a bookshelf. And, like, you know, they're rummaging through the books. And then, like, what's this book? What's in this book? And then, like, if it's, like, nonfiction... And then that becomes part of your world. There's just so many holes that can be placed into your game if you haven't pre-thought about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Again, it's stuff you don't even think about, like, when you start playing the game or whatever.
It's impossible to think about everything.
I mean, because you can be in one town and all of a sudden, like, oh, we saved all the kidnapped children. And then, oh, they want to hire us for this really important mission to go to this mountain? No, we're going to go to the next town. Oh, shit, I don't have a next town. Like, what then?
You know? Improv.
Yeah. And at the same rate, if you're not only homebrewing adventures and worlds and stuff like that, if you're just in a, like, a pre-pub, if you're playing Curse of Strahd and you've homebrewed a class, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize that class really isn't keeping up, you know, with what you thought it would be, or... You know, that class is, like, all of a sudden, like, overpowered. Like, you're like, oh, my player talked me into some really ridiculous shit when we came up with this.
He almost one-shot Strahd? What?
Yeah, so...
Like, yeah, whoops.
Like...
That happened.
That is a big caveat to homebrew, is this isn't playtested.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's not feedback from what you're doing. You know? Like, that just comes with experience and time and understanding the mechanics of the game. But when you're first starting out, like... You don't fucking know how much AC is a lot of AC, like, in your first session, you know? Like, you understand, like, oh, higher numbers are probably better, but all of a sudden you have this class that adds his intelligence, wisdom, charisma, and con to his AC, and you're like, I'm never hitting this dude. He's a master of everything. We'll call it the Dr. Manhattan class.
Oh, Jesus.
He creates worlds and destroys them with a snap of a finger. Not spoilers. You see what I did there?
Oh, yeah, I see it.
You see what I did there? Okay. Yeah.
For all the people who read, like, Marvel comics but haven't seen the movie.
Oh, I was talking about a different... Oh, yeah, never mind. Oh, whoops. Well, Dr. Manhattan is technically DC now, but this is not a comic book podcast.
No, I know he's DC.
Yeah.
I just thought you were making a reference to that.
To the newest Marvel movie?
To the finger snap. Okay, oh, we're getting off.
We're in dangerous territory now.
Anime, DC, Marvel. Yeah.
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Okay, our bad.
No, I mean, it was definitely all me. So you don't need to worry about that.
But we're a team.
We are a team. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer homebrew or pre-pub?
The one feeling I do not like is being railroaded.
Yeah.
I do not like the feeling of being forced in a straight line. Like, if it's like, I want to go over there, but it's like, no, you can't go over there. And, you know, it's like, I want to do this. I want to stay here for a while. It's like, no, you have to progress. Like, if I feel like I'm being railroaded to just follow a very, you know, linear campaign, then I get bored.
Yeah.
I'm very, I don't know.
I mean, because...
I like freedom.
Railroading is not fun for the DM or the players, really. Because being railroaded is, you know, that's your only option. Like, you have to do this. And then as a player, you're like, well, why am I even doing this? Like, I have no choice. I'm just rolling dice kind of thing.
Like, don't get me wrong. I guess, like, that is not a bad route to go if you're, like, brand new. Because then they honestly they probably wouldn't even realize it. But if you were just, like, say you homebrewed your first game, it's all new people, you know, and, like, this is your thought about how you wanted it to play out, and then you kind of, you know, force it to happen, then everyone's new, everyone's getting the feel for the game or whatever, and that's cool. I don't see a problem with that. But as you kind of progress and you have, like, all the base knowledge and, like, skills and stuff of the game, you don't want to be railroaded. You want the freedom. That's what D&D is. It's the freedom to do whatever you want. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying all railroading is terrible, never do it, because there are certain, like, plot points where railroading just makes sense. But in the grand scheme of things, like you said, you don't want to follow adventure where it's, you know, oh, you're going to do this, and then, oh, the only other thing to do is this, because you're in a big city, but the only problem they have is this weird rat ogre, you know, outside the gates. I don't know why the guard's not doing anything.
And don't get me wrong. Say you're trying to get the players from point A to point B. But, you know, they take a detour to, you know, A.5 or whatever. Cool. Like, as long as you can kind of steer them back to the plot point without making it feel like you're forcing it. Like, kind of let them go where they want to go. But then it, as a home brew or as a DM, I kind of feel like it's... And, you know, it's your responsibility and your imagination to kind of, you know, redirect it with a smooth flow.
Yeah. Homebrew a dragon. Oh, what did you say? What did you type up here? It's a vampire riding a dragon wielding a battle axe?
Yeah.
I don't know of any pre-published that have that.
But... that was just, you know, like, that was just talking about the possibilities, like, you know, how, like, Curse of Strahd is kind of like the gothic, you know, theme, dark, dreary world, whatever. And then you have, like... you know, Princess of the Apocalypse, where it's, you know, angels and demons and blah, 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 blah. Like, with home, like, it doesn't have to be like that. Everything can be in one single campaign. Obviously, you'd have to structure it to make it feel realistic, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to have, like...
realistic.
You just have an army of vampires, treants, drow, like, they're all, it's all on the same team in a fairy world with lollipops growing off the trees, like,
Like, I feel like that adds flavor to D&D. Like, the best campaigns I've played in have always had an element of homebrew somewhere. Whether it's, like, a small rule change that, like, makes the game harder, like, you don't get death saving throws or something like that, or it's, you know, like, we started out doing a pre-published adventure, but then all of a sudden, like, we decided to turn it on its head and take a completely different route than was mapped out in the book. Like, homebrew has its places everywhere, and it's kind of like one of those skills. It's like improv. You know, you just get used to, like, changing things up or coming up with things on the fly or, you know, designing this monster that doesn't exist in the book yet. Or your wizard has, like, an interesting spell idea and there's not really a spell that, you know, does what he wants it to do. Like, of course you're gonna have meteors rain from the sky. Why wouldn't you?
One thing I kind of like, which if you incorporate into your homebrew game is cool, but, like, some homebrew games, it's like, wherever you go, you happen to run into stuff that's either your level or, you know, just above to make the encounters difficult or whatever. But say, like, the player group is just like, no, I'm going to go over here. Like, this is where we're going, even though, like, the plot point's over here. And they go over to here, they're like, you know, level 3, level 4. And they start running into... CR rating 8 shit, you know, whatever.
Curse of Strahd is like that.
Yeah, no, it's cool because I don't feel like a world is like, oh, wherever you go, you're just kind of on par. Like, yeah,
it's not Skyrimized.
Yeah.
Where everything follows your lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you go off and wander, you know, wherever, you know, your merry way takes you, and you run into a fucking dragon because you're just like, I'm tough as shit and I can go wherever I want. Well, that's your fucking problem, and you just got blasted, you know?
Yeah.
By fire breath.
That adds a real, like, I did it again.
Nice. That's two, just so everyone knows.
Oh, man.
I'm going to keep track of this.
Kyle's like, do you want to play Fortnite tonight? You want to play Fork Knife? God, we're doing a D&D podcast, people. Yeah. I mean, hey. No, I just, like, I don't think I've ever DM'd a campaign where I didn't homebrew 50% of it. Just because it's part of the fun. Like, it's part of the reasons why Dungeons & Dragons is so enjoyable and, like, has such replayability. Can you imagine if, like, this concept of making up your own stories and stuff, like, wasn't a thing? Like, we were all, like, robotically trained to only do set things. We could only play pre-published adventures. Like, if the creative spirit just died in all humans.
I honestly feel like gaming wouldn't even exist. That's the point.
Okay, you're not wrong.
Like, no, I mean, I'm not trying to totally, like, ruin your...
I was trying to be all philosophical and shit, and you just like, whatever, man. Nah, man, you see, if there's no chicken, there's no egg, man. God.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. No, I'm just saying, like, I know, I understand what you're saying. It would be boring.
Yeah.
Like,
but the rules are so open and adaptable that you can do whatever you want. Whatever you want. I saw some post somewhere about some guy who was like, he was taking World of Warcraft and turning like the storyline of like WoW and all the expansions into a D&D campaign. And I was like, that's super sick.
And there you go. That is a campaign that can go past level 20. Because there is about 10 expansions now.
Yeah, right? How crazy would that be?
Oh, Jesus.
I want to fight the Lich King from World of Warcraft and Dungeons and Dragons now. I think that'd be sick. Yeah. Just that whole story arc is a really good story arc.
Like right there, man. That's a level 20 fight.
If you had to choose between only homebrewing campaigns for the rest of your D&D career or having an unlimited number of pre-published adventures to run, which would you do?
Honestly, I would have to go with homebrew for the simple fact every time I read something, every time I play something, every time I watch, you know, a movie, a show, like, I'm so, like, my mind is so invested in D&D. Like, I start having these ideas, like you know, like the light bulb going off. I'm like, dude, I'm just kind of like you just said right now, like with World of Warcraft or, you know, whatever. Like, I did with, like, Sword Art Online. It's like, imagine turning this into, like, a D&D world where you can do this and this and this, and it'd be so fucking epic.
Yeah. I think it's just, I don't know. I love Dungeons and Dragons.
You get a sense of self-accomplishment, I think.
If when your players enjoy it.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Your players have to enjoy it. But you think out this whole scenario, campaign, whatever, whether it can be level 1 to 4, whatever the case may be. And, like, you run your players through it, and they just, like, you can just feel the entertainment, the excitement, and everyone's having a good time. And you just get this, like, sense of self-accomplishment, like, yeah. That was me.
Yeah. But on the other side of that, like, the worst feeling in the world is when you're really excited about this campaign, you've planned all this stuff, you're homebrewing your ass off, you know, you run a couple sessions, it's okay, and then, like, that, there's that one session where no one is clicking, and it's just terrible.
Crickets.
Yeah, that was a terrible cricket.
I know. I was singing about it in my head the whole time. And I was like, crickets make this high-pitched sound. I'm going to try it. And I was like, how the fuck do you even make that sound?
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know. Whatever. Are these
crickets homebrewed?
Just crickets. That was my homebrewed cricket.
That's the title of the episode. Are these crickets homebrewed?
God damn. There so we go.
Good. So good.
Shit.
It's not even funny. Whatever.
Well, hopefully the sound of crickets is not in your homebrewed campaign.
Oh, yeah, no, because that's the worst feeling in the world when it's just not clicking and no one's, like, having fun. They're kind of just, you know, playing D&D just to play D&D.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst.
You guys Beholder!
Out of nowhere, just in the campaign, right there.
Are you guys all ready? Reroll magnificent characters.
Yeah, we'll actually have fun next week, I promise.
I'm giving you all bonus magic items.
We're playing Curse of Strahd. I love Curse of Strahd, and I wish I could have finished it. Oh, well.
Maybe you'll get to.
Are you guys ready for an awkward pause? So, Karateka, you have any last-minute thoughts or anything?
Well, I mean, you just brought it up. And honestly, like, yeah, no, I'll say something. I am honest. I personally have never run. Never read. Never, like, talked to people about it. I mean, okay, a little bit. But nothing that would, like, well, me as a DM, it doesn't really matter. But I currently am reading the campaign Curse of Strahd.
It's so good.
And so good. I want to DM it. And maybe in the near future, hopefully. I mean, in my mind, it's going to happen. But yeah, no. Maybe you guys will hear from that.
Yeah. I would love to take the Ravenloft setting that Curse of Strahd is based on from, I think, 2nd edition D&D. And, like, just because old adventures, like, some of them were so unforgiving. Because they're not there to please you. They're there to tell a story. And it's just, I don't know, it's just fun. Because they're just weird shit in some of the old adventures. Like, White Plume Mountain, like... I'll show you White Plume Mountain because I know you've never read it. No. It's a crazy, weird adventure. And it's just awkward. White
Poo?
Plume.
Okay, Plume. Okay.
White Poo. Oh, my God. I'm doing a podcast with a 6-year-old.
I've got a stomach full of white dog shit.
What? Okay. I think we're getting a little off the handle.
Okay.
So that's going to be where we call it a day. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart and Karaka's cold, dark recess where he used to have a heart, as we discovered last week. But yeah, as always, you can find us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle. You can email us taverntussle@gmail.com. Anything else?
Good night, guys.
Good night. And we hope you have a wonderful day.